Hey, welcome to Become an Ultra. I'm Scott Jones, your host. And like I said in last episode, 62 miles to remember is what I'm calling this series. My dad was 62 years old when he passed away, and I'm kind of doing a 100K to remember him. And I turned the focus around on me for a week before we get into season 5. If you've listened long enough, you know that I really don't like to talk too much about myself in the way that I am the story. But the show is called Becoming Ultra, and it makes sense. This is going to be the longest run I've ever done. I've only done a couple 50Ks. DNF my first one, and I've run a couple 50Ks in training. So I'm excited to get out there and push my limits just like our runners for the show do. And, you know, I've coached myself. I talked a little bit about my training in the last episode. I didn't get too specific, but you can see the general flow of what the goals were throughout the 6 months that I've been training for this thing. And today, what we're going to talk about, 6 days away from the 100K that I'll be doing in West Virginia, is the route and some of the meaning behind the mount. So I pulled up the map. We're going to talk about that. I'm not promoting too much on these shows. As you guys know, season 5, the launch show has already been released. Applications are coming in on the 18th of September, which is the day after I do this thing. So we'll be talking about that a lot. I'm not going to beat that to death right now. All right, so Spruce Knob is the highest point in West Virginia, in the state of West Virginia. So as I'm talking about this route, I'm going to talk about some of the meaningfulness of the route, of the state, and why we're doing this. So Spruce Knob is a place that I could probably blame the region for my love of the mountains. I grew up in South Florida, and every single summer I would come up to West Virginia, whether it was just with my dad and mom to visit their parents, or if my dad and mom were going to drop us off with their parents for a couple weeks and just explore the state. My dad's parents had a 180-acre farm in West Virginia, which I would just run amok for a week at a time in the summer, fish and you know, running before I knew I was running, like just running after things and having fun in the hills. And it's just a beautiful place. Spruce Knob is near a part of the state where my family regularly would vacation. It's there's some just great mountain streams and rivers for fishing and just recreation and good trails and all that good stuff. And Spruce Knob sits at about 4,800 feet, which I live higher than. Like, I live at about just under 6,000 feet here in Colorado. But 4,800 feet in West Virginia feels way higher than 6,000 feet does here in Colorado, mainly because it's one of the higher points in the area. You definitely can tell the temperature difference like you do in some of the high mountains here, although it's not quite as cold. Anyway, that's where we're starting. It was initially when I put this route together where we were going to finish, but I wanted to logistically make it a little easier for my family to crew, and I wanted to give myself and my buddy and brother-in-law a better chance to run with pace at 2 or 3 in the morning when we are starting. We were going to start on a really, really technical trail. The only really single track of the whole route is about 26 miles, and I didn't want to have to do that at 3 in the morning because I want to be able to bomb, and I want to be able to take in the views, and my buddy who's coming from Colorado has never been on these trails. I wanted him to be able to experience it instead of being pitch black. So we're going to start over there at Spruce Knob, and we're going to hop on a little county road. I think it's called 112. And the first 12-ish miles, we'll say 12 miles, is downhill on a dirt road. And when I say downhill, I mean it. It's about 3,000 feet drop. So it's going to be a legit, we should be able to pace ourselves pretty high on that. Me and Jeremy, if we go run 12 miles downhill, I'd say an hour and a half for that. Maybe a little bit more. The one thing we got to watch out for this is, you know, we do lots of big mountain running and bombing down here in Colorado. The one thing we got to watch out for this is that we've never started. Most of the runs we do in Colorado are starting up. So we've never started with a really long downhill, but I think we both have confidence in our quad strength and conditioning at this point that we can, instead of hold back too much, just let our legs go a little bit. Don't worry about late in the race. Late in the race is going to be brutal anyway, so we'd rather make up a little bit of time early on. So, yeah, we'll say 12 miles. It'll be less than 2 hours for sure. And then we get to this little this state highway, which is a little bit bigger road. It's called 33, State Highway 33. It goes through some really pretty places. If you've been on 33 before, you know it goes by Seneca Rocks, which is a world-class climbing area. It goes by Elkins and Snowshoe, which is one of the better ski areas back east, especially in the southern east, not in Vermont. So anyway, we get on 33 after that first 12 miles, and the next 5 miles we gain about 1,700 to 1,800. It's all on pretty much paved and dirt road, and we get to this ridge. So the first 17 miles, 12 down, or we drop about 3. 5 up, we gain about 1,700 or 1,800. And then we get on that single track. It's called North Fork Mountain Trail. And I've done this trail before, 2 years ago, I think it was, maybe three. 2 or 3 years ago. It's on this ridge, and the ridge is basically a cliff line that runs 25, 26 miles. We're doing a little bit different than I did last time, so I'm going to give you a rough estimate of 25 to 26 miles. It actually runs behind Seneca Rocks, so these great rock formations, you look down about 500 to 700 feet below you, and you can see them. It's very wooded. We probably won't see anybody else out there. I've never seen anybody else out there back-to-back times. I've seen a couple mountain bikers out there. Usually you'll see two or three people within a mile or two of the trailhead, but not where we're going. So it's a rolling, really forested area. There are places, there's at least two or three half miles where as far as your eye can see, to the left and right is nothing but ferns. It's kind of a magical, mystical little trail. Very technical. Tons of sharp, jagged rock and tons of roots. But there are a lot of runnable areas as well. So there will be places where we can get into a groove. And as per most of our training for the summer, almost anything up almost anything that was up, we power hiked. So we're gonna stick to that because we've been able to power hike pretty consistently at 15 minute miles or less, and pretty happy with that. So we're gonna hit that bad boy. 26 miles. We'll probably get on right at sunrise or maybe a little bit before. My mom and sister will be there to crew us a little bit. We're gonna change. Well, I'm gonna change shoes to my trail shoes. I think Jeremy probably will too. Make sure our packs are full. We'll be taking about 3 liters of water, and I'll probably take one thing of electrolyte. I've been using Noon's little fizzy electrolyte. Anyway, so that route, that piece of it's going to take us a good, I'll say 5 or 6 hours, just depending on the light, depending on our legs after that bomb and climb. We'll say 5 or 6 hours for the 26 miles. I'm telling my crew 6 hours to be safe because I really don't want them waiting on us, especially since there's not a lot of service in most of these areas. And because there's not a lot of service, it's just easy to it's easy to sweat a little bit. So I don't want them sweating and worried about us. Anyway, the meaning behind that, me and my dad, when it wasn't just me and him hiking that thing or some of our family hiking it, the place that we come out is about 2 miles from the road. It's 2 miles from the trailhead. It's a legit climb. So the last 2 miles that we'll be bombing on this thing, we drop about at least 1,500. I can't remember if it's more, but at least 1,500 feet in 2 miles. You know, my dad used to bring his football teams from Florida up there, and we'd take all the kids up. And there's a cliff up there, and we would sit on the cliff and look down and get on our stomachs on the rock and just look at the trees below and the river below. And There are a lot of memories right there. So all these memories too, like I know there's going to be so much emotion on this thing, which kind of sucks, but it's really, it doesn't suck. It's going to be really cool. So lots of memories there. I just, you know, in the last year, I've just been having flashbacks, kind of like you see in movies, of parts of my life. And I know that a lot of that's going to happen. So yeah, we're going to bomb out of that. So at this point, we're going to be right around 45 miles or so. Give or take, we'll see what our GPS says. We come out on this dirt road. The name of the road is 28/11. So that, it's also known as Smoke Hole Road, which goes back into some wilderness. But it's we're only going to be on that road for about a quarter mile. It pops out to this natural spring, which my family's been going to for as long as I could remember. And we'll definitely fill our water up at the natural spring. My dad would always get so freaking excited about the natural spring because even though he grew up in West Virginia, I grew up in Florida. And anytime there was something mountainy, like some kind of mountainy thing, he would just get giddy, whether it was like jumping off a rock in a river or fishing or going on a hike or getting spring water. He just loved that stuff, and he never got old every year. He was always excited. So we cross that spring, and then we go over this little bridge that takes us to a pretty main highway. It's 28 and 55. They share a road. And where the bridge comes out is where my family has vacationed since I was probably 13 or 14 years old. There's a huge house. It's got like 6 to 8 bedrooms. There's no TV allowed when we vacated there. And more memories than I can even recall. So we'll be passing that really special point. The bridge that we actually crossed to get to the road, I scared the crap out of my mom when I was like 16 years old. I said, "Mom, look." And I jumped off the bridge. It was about 15 feet up and into about 3 feet of water. And I stuck it. And she looked at me like I was crazy. And I laughed. So when we get on this main highway, we'll have my mom and sister and wife and some other friends kind of keeping an eye out for cars. There are a couple of spots where the shoulder's kind of narrow, but we can get over off enough to where it's safe. But there's a huge swimming hole right there, so we're gonna call that like our legit aid station of the day. I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna jump in the river. There's a big old rock, and it's about 25 feet deep. I'm gonna jump in, clean off the salt, and get a change of clothes, throw them back on, and hop on the road. And that fishing, that swimming hole right there is crazy how many times we've gone there. So that's just a huge point where me and my dad would just sit there and talk about life and growing up and just tons of those moments when you're growing up, that are going to be pretty special. So, all right. So we're going to get on that road after that little deal. We're going to pass Smoke Hole Caverns, really cool, caverns in town there. We have 3 miles on this big, busy road. So it's kind of stressful. But then after that, we get off in 3 miles. We go up this road called Jordan Run Road. We're on Jordan Run for about less than a mile. And then we get off on a dirt road called, I think it's called 19 or 75. It's another city or state or county road. It's a dirt road. It goes up. And at this point, we have a half marathon left. So we'll be going up 6 miles, and we'll be gaining close to 2,000. And I think that's definitely going to be the crux of the run. I think parts of the long trail are going to be really difficult and challenging, and I think this uphill is going to be brutal. But I think me and Jeremy will be up for power hiking. I'll give ourselves 2 hours to get up that 6 miles. And when we get up there, and this is all fairly heavily covered with tree, big forest trees. We'll probably see some color as we go up. It goes up pretty high up elevation wise. We'll be getting close to 4,000, and then we'll get up to this road called 75, and it's in Dolly Sod's wilderness, which is just a beautiful wilderness, and we'll have 7 miles of almost perfectly flat dirt road to the end. And I really love the finish of this because we spent so much time as a family on Dolly Sod's. And the point that we'll finish at is a place, Bear Rocks Overlook, I think is what it's called. Bear Rocks Preserve. So Bear Rocks is just these huge flat rocks. Some of them are kind of on a cliff band, but you can kind of jump and hop over them and have this phenomenal view of the valley. It's one of the best, and I've lived out west for a long time. It's one of the best stargazing places in the world. I don't know how many times me and my dad have gone out there with young high school kids, or just me and him, or just me, him, and my sister and mom, with sleeping bags and pillows, and get there at sunset, watch the sunset, talk, ask questions until the sun went down. And that's where I'm going to finish the 100K. And I'm going to finish no matter what. Ideally, it's about an hour before sunset. I would love that, so we could get some fuel and just sit there and reflect. But if it's not, if it happens to be dark, I'll be grateful for that too. But it's going to happen, that's for sure. So who's going to be there at the end? My uncle, my dad's brother, his wife, so my aunt, who just celebrated 32 years. My mom and my sister and her husband, Jake, who will be running with me. My little nieces, my wife and my boys, 3 of my buddies from Colorado. We have Jay and Leroy and Jeremy, who will be running with me, and potentially a couple buddies that are back east who haven't confirmed being able to come out yet. But Yeah, it's going to be, I have no doubt it will be emotional, but just having that sense of accomplishment to run that far and push that hard and hopefully suffer in the best way possible for my dad's memory is what I'm really looking forward to. And I think it's cool to be able to share this with you guys because when I'm done with this thing, hopefully my descriptions of these places will be good enough, except for the first 3 hours because it'll be pitch black, that when we share a lot of this stuff, you'll know exactly what I was going through and what it was like, and hopefully, hopefully it's meaningful for people listening. And hopefully, you know, if you don't have a race that you're planning on, if there's nothing that's really interesting to you, if you get anxious about running with a big group of people, I've done both. This, I've never been more motivated to train. I've never taken care of myself more than I have in the last 6 months. I'm really, really excited to do this thing. And after the fact, hopefully I'll have some more feedback for you guys on how and why you should do something like this as well. Even for a first ultra, I think it's a noble way to do it. So that is the course and some of the meaningfulness of it. So tomorrow, 5 days away, and I'm gonna talk about some mental things we're gonna be pre-planning for the race, and I'm gonna talk about my trip home. What does my trip from Colorado all the way to this little town in West Virginia entail with my awesome wife Lauren and my two boys who are 6 and 3? Hint, we just got back from a couple stores to let the boys grab some toys. You gotta bribe them. That's hint number one. All right, guys. Hope you're having a good time wherever you're at. Hope you have a good run today. Good life today where you're at, and I appreciate y'all. Be back tomorrow.